This is Howard Jones, and this is Coverville with Brian Ibbett.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And we're going today to a British artist, best known for some new wave music, but has continued to really thrive in his career ever since, taking the reins and becoming his own label, his own studio, basically like an all-in-one production environment. And that artist, that musician is Howard Jones, the guy that I had the pleasure of talking to once on Coverville. I'm just going to drop the name right away. Well, I've already dropped the name.
Well, they know that because at the very beginning, there was a sounder that said.
Oh, they heard the sounder. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yes. Well, there you go. Yeah. So interviewed him for Coverville. He was doing a podcasting thing or PodSafe music thing, sort of a promotion. And through that, I had a chance to interview him, which was kind of a dream situation, because his music has always been, I've always been a huge fan of his music, and he was the first CD I ever owned. We'll talk about that too in the show, but so it was kind of crazy to finally get a chance to talk to him. Anywho, that's neither here nor there. Let's start talking about him. You and I are both fans, right? I mean, you were a fan before this episode as well, or did
I definitely like a lot of his stuff. I discovered him when I was in college in like 86, 87, 88, along those years. Yeah, he's had a big impact on what I like.
Excellent. Well, let's get into it then. He was born in 1955 in Cardiff, South Wales. He began taking piano lessons at 7 years of age. His family moved to Canada when he was a teenager. His first band was called Warrior, and they were a prog group. He returned to the UK and he attended the Royal Northern College of Music in the 70s. While he was there, he played in various bands. In the early 80s, he performed in local clubs with a mime artist by the name of Jed Holy, performing improvised choreography.
Okay, let's just stop there for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could watch someone, no matter how talented they are, if they have a mime on stage with them.
Well, all right, so I've seen Jed Holly perform with him, tour a couple times, because Jed continued to be a major part of the Howard Jones live experience. And if you're thinking, like, you're basically visualizing a dude with white paint and the black,
yes,
you know, the black outlines and stuff. None of the times that I saw was he, but in the shows, they would do some really cool things with him. Kind of like they do now, they have a video screen where you see stuff that goes along with the music. If you get tired of watching the band, you watch the video screen, or it complements what's going on stage. They kind of did the same thing with Jed, where, like, for example, they'd have him behind a screen for one of the songs, but he would be, basically, you'd see a silhouette of him slowly turning into a pig over the course of that song, from the gluttony of the stuff that the lyrics are describing. And Battery is what it's called.
Okay.
Anyway, so
now it makes sense.
Yeah, and over the course of the song, I guess the lyrics describe a gluttony and the changing of the character in the song, and so Jed would be behind the screen, kind of acting that out.
Super Peter Gabriel. I know it's not, but
yeah,
sounds super Peter Gabriel.
It absolutely is. And I remember, they'd have Life in One Day. He'd be kind of being the happy-go-lucky character. It is very, you know what? It's super performance art, mm-hmm. like Genesis was in those days. And for whatever reason, seeing him in concert, I saw him once at Red Rocks. I've probably seen Howard Jones maybe half a dozen times in various concerts. And only maybe about a third of the time, I think it was only the first couple of concerts, the Dream Into Action and one-to-one concerts had Jed Hoyle, I think I'm looking right now, Jed Hoyle, H-O-Y-L-Y. I think I misspelled or mispronounced it. But yeah, for whatever reason, at the time, it didn't seem out of place with the music. Thinking about it now, it's like, wow, a mime artist with a new wave band seems like a weird combination.
Yeah.
At the time, it made total sense, though.
Okay.
In 1983, he rented the Marquee Club in London and invited record labels as a showcase. In a BBC Radio 1 session, he obtained slots opening for China Crisis and OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
He cited OMD, Keith Emerson, and Stevie Wonder as major influences on himself.
I could see that. I mean, because both Keith Emerson and Stevie Wonder are keyboard players.
Mm-hmm.
And OMD has got that kind of new wave sensibility that wasn't just flat out Gary Numan Cars kind of sound.
Right? It was synth with talent is what it was.
Kind of was, yeah, exactly. In mid-1983, he signed with the Warner Music Group. He released New Song as his first single in 1983. He reached the top 30 in the US and top 5 in the UK. Television's Top of the Pops was his debut performance in September of that year. The next year, 1984, he released his debut album, Humans Lib. It produced three more singles over the next 12 months. New Song, What is Love, Hide and Seek, and Pearl in the Shell. Album eventually certified double platinum. Equality was released as a single in South Africa only as a commentary on apartheid.
One reviewer called this album a must for Supertramp fans.
Which is interesting. I would not have guessed, right? Like would not have picked Supertramp as any sort of combination to him.
I think I would have because there's a lot of clever lyrics. It's very keyboard oriented in many ways. And it's also exceedingly British. That first album is very, very British. At least for me, it is.
The first Supertramp.
No, album? First.
The first Howard Jones.
Yes.
Album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much.
And Supertramp is very British, just all the way around.
His parents ran his fan club. Howard Jones' parents ran his fan club. I can vouch for this. When I ordered a copy of Bafom late 90s. Or mid-90s. It was a live album. And I got a nice handwritten letter from Howard Jones' parents thanking me for buying his music, ordering it online. Like, basically, you didn't order it from Amazon. You ordered it from howardjones.com. That was him already kind of taking control of his situation. His parents running his fan club from the get-go. I love it. In 1984, he released the song Like to Get to Know You Well. It was dedicated to the original spirit of the Olympics, but it was not an official theme of the Summer Games. The sleeve of the 12-inch single for Like to Get to Know You All featured the title in 10 different languages. He also does versions of the song in French and German.
The song also appeared in the movie Better Off Dead and in GTA Vice City Stories.
It is it's a great song. So bouncy and jangly and fun. A remix album was released of 6 songs. I think it was called the 12-inch album. All but one of those songs had been released before. In 1985, he released the album Dream Into Action, the very first CD I ever bought. the trio Aphrodisiac backed him up on the album. One song, No One Is to Blame, was re-recorded with Phil Collins on drums, producer and doing backing vocals.
This version of it is on Action Replay.
On more than, again, it was more than just a single. It was like a whole, I don't want to call it an extra album because it had just a handful of songs, but
it had a lot of extra stuff on there. Yeah.
It remained on the US charts. Dream in Action remained on the charts for almost a year. Singles were Life in One Day, Things Can Only Get Better, Look Mama, and I think even the title track appeared on radio. He later performed at Live Aid. In 1986, the aforementioned Action Replay, which is the one that featured that version of No One Is to Blame, which easily is his biggest hit, biggest single of all time. Maybe give a little bit of that credit to Phil Collins. That actually first appeared as a recording for The Prince's Trust, that version with Phil Collins.
Oh, okay, cool.
In 1986, he recorded One to One. This album peaked at number 10 in the UK, and the song All I Want would become his last UK hit. Popularity continued to grow, filling arenas and seeing chart success. And the song, You Know I Love You, Don't You, was a top 20 single in the United States. A couple of years later, Crossed That Line, released that in 1989. This album performed poorly in the UK, but in the US, the single Everlasting Love was the second number one hit.
This is the album, the first time I went out and purposely sought out and bought a Howard Jones album.
Was Cross That Line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was it was a really good album. And Tina, I saw you did a solo performance, like just acoustic, at Fiddler's Green, which is an open amphitheater, kind of like Red Rocks. We only have open air amphitheaters in Colorado that are colors, our names of colors in the name. But yeah, he performed this with a whole acoustic concert. It was great. What a great show. The song The Prisoner was also released as a single, and it charted well also. The 2012 remaster of this album has a ton of extras on it. I'm going to have to find that. I didn't know that. Cool. In 1992, he released In the Running. Failed to see any kind of success in the UK, but the single Lift Me Up did chart in the United States. This showed a move away from electronic music and more towards piano and other acoustic instruments. Listen, it's very, I don't know, it's got very Bruce Hornsby kind of feel to it.
It very much does.
But it really works for him. Like, it doesn't feel like he's pandering or going light rock or anything. It still feels true to it, just less electronic.
Mm-hmm.
In 1993, he released Best of Howard Jones. It was released to wrap up his time with Warner Music, and it charted well both in the UK and in the US.
I remember vividly just how expensive the CD was compared to everyone else. Like, other CDs at the time were like 15, 18 bucks. And this one was floating around 30, 35 for some reason.
Really?
And I hesitated buying it for so long because of that.
Yeah, no kidding. Was it a double disc set?
I don't think so. I just remember.
I know there were a couple of his albums that were his best. There was one of his best of albums that was like B-sides and stuff on the second disc. But I don't think it was this one.
Yeah, I just remember how expensive it was. And I held off for ages before I finally just, I think it was actually finally on like iTunes where I pulled it down because it was just so expensive as a disc.
Interesting. I wonder Yeah, I wonder what the deal was with that being. Maybe you were finding it only in import versions or something like that. I don't know. In the 90s, he had success as a songwriter for other performers. He wrote hits with the band Propaganda. I remember them too. They had a, didn't realize he wrote for them, but they were big new wave. And I want to say was he German or did the lead singer just look German? She had a very German look to her. She wasn't German. After his contract expired, he worked as a producer, a songwriter, and he even ran a restaurant.
So I looked this up and the restaurant was this vegetarian restaurant in Nowhere, New York. And it burned down within the 12 months after it opened.
Ah, what a bummer. At that time, he started his own record label called Detox, D-T-O-X. Basically, you know, kind of taking control of everything once he was done with Warner. In 1994, he released the album Working in the Back Room. This was recorded in his home studio, which was called The Shed. It sold 20,000 copies and it was only available from his website or at a merch table at his concerts.
So I didn't have this album. And while we were getting ready for the show, I had to find a friend here locally who was a big Howard Jones fan, and I actually had to borrow their copy to listen to this one.
Nice. Oh yeah. Cause not on Spotify, not on, on the usual sources.
Well, it is on YouTube to stream. So if people want to listen, they can, but I just wanted to have it like in my car or whatever. So I had to borrow it from a friend.
In 1996, he released Live Acoustic America, pretty much what you'd expect. And this actually might've been the concert that I saw where it was basically all of his hits, but done acoustically. And really, really good. 1997, Angels and Lovers was released. This one was only released in Japan. And the song If You Love was featured on the soundtrack to the TV show Party of Five. You're never gonna feel the rain with your life under glass in the middle lane. You'll never feel the joy, never feel the pain. In 1998, he released the album People. This was a rework of the album Angels and Lovers. When Lovers Confess and the title track were pulled, and three new songs, Tomorrow Is Now, Everything, and Let the People Have Their Say, were added. All the faces on the album cover were friends and family. Yeah, you can tell because it's like, it's all different levels of quality photographs. Some look like they were taken with a, with a Palm Pilot. Some of them look like they were taken professionally, different colors and stuff like that. But it's a cool effect. Around this time, he toured with Nick Beggs, Robin Bolt, and Kevin Wilkinson.
So Nick Beggs was in Kajagoogoo. But now he tours with all kinds of folks like Steve Wilson and Steve Hackett. But he's not only just a bass player, but he's also a world-renowned Chapman Stick player. And I'd have to have my Chapman Stick car pulled if I didn't mention.
Yes, for sure. Kevin Wilkinson, we named, and he played with the band Squeeze. He had a brother, or has a brother. I guess he passed away, Kevin Wilkinson. But his brother, Keith Wilkinson, was also a bass player for Squeeze. In 2001, Howard played keyboards for Ringo Starr and his all-star band, one of those annual tours that Ringo was doing, or not semi-annual, or you know, every couple of year tours where he would get a different collection of people to go on tour with. In 2001, released the album The Peaceful Tour Live, another live album. In 2003, piano solos for friends and loved ones, just what the title describes. And in 2003, another best of, the very best of Howard Jones. I'm pretty sure this is the one that had the bonus disc that had all the B-sides.
Probably. That makes sense.
Yeah. In 2005, he released Revolution of the Heart. This was a return to his electronic roots. He released Just Look at You Now and Revolution of the Heart as singles. Time to end the war against humanity. Time to build the peace. We're on your century. We're talking about a revolution.
So I don't know if we want to have the conversation here or if we should have it later, but we need to talk about how or why he's never done James Bond music.
I have a theory on that. And this is actually something that we talked about when we did the interview, because I'd asked him about covers. We'll talk about a cover that he did around this time. But I asked him why he didn't do more covers and what he thought of people doing covers of his own music. And he has no problem with people covering his own music. but he only will do a cover if the message of that song is positivity. Like he's at a place where he can say, yeah, I only want to do stuff that is uplifting to me, is positive. I mean, I think you think back to some of the older songs, maybe The Prisoner is pretty negative. There's a few things on the first couple albums. I think the aforementioned Assault and Battery was a pretty negative song when you look at the lyrics. But those are pretty rare compared to the positive songs that he's got in his library. And I think that became more and more. And I couldn't see him doing a theme to a movie where the main character has a license to kill people.
Okay. You got a point, but I would love to hear his take on the classic James Bond theme.
Yeah, I would too. I think any of those older James Bond songs, Moonraker, Goldfinger, From Russia with Love, would be really cool to hear him do in one of his either acoustic piano styles or even his electronic. I think it would be really, really good. But you just don't get a lot of covers from him. And I think on the same note, you probably wouldn't get a James Bond theme. His practice of Nichiren Buddhism influenced the album Revolution of the Heart. And there were various versions released of this album that had remixes and other tracks available throughout the world. In 2005, he released The Ultimate Collection. Maybe that's the one that has all these songs. I'll have to look it up. But it certainly seems like each one of these more and more is like, well, maybe that's the one.
It's a new superlative every time.
It is. Yes, exactly. The very best of. In 2006, he recorded Things Can Only Get Better, but he did it in Simlish for the game Sims 2. October of 2006, Jones released Building Our Own Future as a PodSafe track, one of several established artists looking to use podcasting as a new means of promoting their music and tours. And this is where he and I had the discussion. In 2006, the Platinum Collection. In 2007, Live in Birkenhead was released. The DVD Howard Jones, Live in Salt Lake City was released in 2007.
He's always had a really, really big following here in Salt Lake. I knew lots and lots of people who went to this show. And really? I was sad that I didn't get the chance to go at the time. But yeah, he's pretty popular out here.
That's cool. He seems to do really well out here as well. And Tina and I were lamenting when we were going through and listening to this, because I had her listening to some of these albums with me in the car, we were lamenting the fact that we had seen his name on a marquee at a really cool intimate venue called the Oriental Theater. And it was for February 29th. And we'd completely forgotten about it. We were going to buy tickets. As soon as we got home from where we were going, when we saw it, we completely forgot. And we missed out on what probably was a really great concert.
That's okay. Everybody after Trio. That's okay, because everybody after March 15th missed out on it too.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. You know, maybe it was a blessing in disguise. Maybe somebody at that concert on the 29th had COVID and infected the entire audience, and we dodged that bullet, because yep, it would have been early enough that somebody could have had it.
Yeah, it very much is.
Yeah. Anyway, hopefully he'll come back through and we can finally make up for missing that last show. In 2009, Ordinary Heroes was released. Simple arrangements of piano and strings dominated this album, creating a more mature feel to the music on there. That's what mothers do. You'll never see the tears she cries. It's like any other day. She just walks away. Around this time, he appeared on BYU TV's The Song That Changed My Life in 2012.
Another Utah connection.
There you go, BYU. In 2015, the album Engage was released. And in 2019, just last year, Transform, two factors affected this record. Number one was his work on the soundtrack to Eddie the Eagle, and also his work with BT.
So this is a complete sidetrack.
Yeah.
But he looks like John Lithgow now.
kind of does a little bit. Yeah. Two songs from the movie, from Eddie the Eagle, and one from his work with BT, are featured on this album. It was generally well received. By the way, BT, what am I?
That's he's a electronic music producer, composer. He does some soundtrack work. You might recognize him from Simply Being Loved, from the Dance Dance Revolution game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The album, by the way, Transform, was generally well received. The songs Beating Mr. Negative, there's that positivity again, Hero in Your Eyes, and The One to Love You were all released as singles. You say these words, but they're lost on me. Up in the air, floating my music. Hammond, tell me some statistics and general notes about Howard Jones.
So as I was listening through things this week, I kept thinking of other bands that he should have worked with. And I came across this list and, like, you know, I made up this list of, you know, New Order, Erasure, Thomas Dolby, all people he should have been doing things with at some point. And I threw out the name Nick Kershaw. And just out of, like, pure curiosity, I typed in Nick Kershaw and Howard Jones and came up with this duet of them doing one of Nick's most popular songs. Like, probably it is the Stairway to Heaven song.
The most popular Kershaw song.
And so I'll probably drop a clip of it in here. My broken spirit is frozen to the core. Don't wanna be here. No, wouldn't it be good to be in your shoes? But I was really happy, and so I texted Brian as soon as I saw it, that link. Mm-hmm. And if we weren't friends before, we're friends now because I shared that with him.
Yeah, he and Nick Kershaw are pretty good friends. It's funny, like, you follow some of their Twitter accounts, and you see these weird photos of the lead singer of Haircut 100, whose name I'm totally blanking on right now, Howard Jones and Nick Kershaw, like, all getting together and having dinner at Howard Jones' house. You know, no doubt some vegan thing, but they're all getting together. And it's just so cool to think, you know, I guess they're people too. They're going to have friends and they're going to get together and do stuff.
So the other thing that I wanted to do is I also think that his catalog would do really, really well as a musical. We've talked about catalog musicals in the past. We haven't in a while. But this is the first one in a long time that just screams for someone to string a story together and make a catalog musical out of this.
Dude, you are not wrong. Like, the Life in One Day, the Howard Jones musical, uh-huh, follow the path of you know, this negative guy who kind of turns himself around and becomes happy and is family and friends love him again and stuff. I could totally see it. That'd be great.
Yeah. Even like her story of redemption from, like, drug abuse or something. I don't know, but there's something there that, that's a story that could be told very easily.
For sure. Oh, that's a great, his would be a great catalog musical. And also because people know so many more of his songs than they probably think they do.
Yes. Yep.
For sure. All right, cool.
And the last thing I wanted to bring up was, I know we've talked about him doing like a James Bond song or a cover of James Bond.
Right.
But I think it's a crime that he hasn't actually done some, like, film scores.
Like an entire soundtrack to a film. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised too. I mean, his music has appeared in movies, like we talked about Better Off Dead and stuff like that. But it is kind of surprising that...
like Broadchurch. He could have done the score for Broadchurch TV show.
Oh, there'd be so much, right? There'd be so much, so many things that he could have done. Yeah, you look at him on IMDb and it's all soundtrack credits of things like No One Is to Blame and Like to Get to Know You Well and Equality and things like that. Songs that he's already done being played in there.
But it's basically the music supervisors are saying, hey, can we pay you to use a song instead of him writing original score music?
Right, exactly. You mentioned Thomas Dolby, by the way. Those two, I'd be surprised if they haven't done something together because they're both keyboard aficionados. They're both into managing their music and technology. I'd be amazed if Thomas Dolby and Howard Jones hadn't had some sort of friendship.
It's kind of like, though, I mean, Trent Reznor is also the same exact definition, but I'm pretty sure Trent and Tom Hojo aren't hanging out together.
Right. Right. Well, okay. Yes. True. All right. Let's talk about seeing Howard Jones in concert and what song you guarantee that you're going to be hearing if you see him in concert. And I'm cheating a little bit because I have seen him in concert a bunch. So I have a different pick than you do. But some of the songs that you think would be his Stairway to Heaven?
Okay, so all of these are going to be played. It just, yes. Which one is he played most? My picks are Things Can Only Get Better, Everlasting Love, What Is Love, New Song, and my choice is the No One Is to Blame. Because, come on, really?
That's his biggest hit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say What Is Love because not only... He's obviously played it every single time we've seen it. And I think he's done New Song and No One Is to Blame every time we've seen him. I don't know about Things Can Only Get Better or Everlasting Love. Obviously, we saw him a couple times before the album with Everlasting Love, before In the Running came out, but or Cross That Line came out. But every single time he's done What Is Love, and he's also done a big interactive with the crowd performance of it, where he has the audience do the What Is Love anyway. He has the audience do that part of the song for him, which, you know, I'm paying to see you in concert. If you want me to sing, you better start paying me.
Don't make me work. You're here to do a job.
Don't make me work. Exactly. Here we go. Number one song. Yeah, it is. It is What Is Love. Things Can Only Get Better. Okay, he's done it more than I thought he did. New Song, Like to Get to Know You Well, No One Is to Blame, Life in One Day, Everlasting Love, Hide and Seek, Pearl in the Shell, and Human Touch, rounding out the top 10. The biggest cover he's done in concert, this is one I never in a million years would have expected, but...
Ride the Lightning.
Well, okay, maybe that's one I'd expect less than this. 26 times in concert, he's done George Michael's Careless Whisper. Wham! Featuring George Michael's Careless Whisper.
Wow.
That's one I never would have expected.
But now that you say it, I can totally hear it.
I can too. He's also done God Only Knows by the Beach Boys a bunch of times in concert. I can absolutely see that because that totally fits in his wheelhouse. Oh, Darling by the Beatles. Blackbird, also by the Beatles. Too Shy by Kajagoogoo would be interesting to see. And Give Me Some Lovin' by the Spencer Davis Group. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I gotta search some of these out, find them online. Speaking of covers, you and I both like to pick a song that we would like to hear him cover. And I'll go first because I always do. This is a band we've talked about before. It's a band that's obviously a favorite of mine, and they do have Keith and Kevin Wilkinson in common. Squeeze, I would love to hear him do a cover of the song Pulling Muscles from a Shell, which was one of Squeeze's biggest hits. It's about a day at the beach, a description of all the things that you see from you know, muscly dudes walking around with guys trolling their brand new motorboats in the water to show them off and things like that. It's a great description of a day at the beach, and I think Howard Jones would do it well, and he could even do it as a really cool acoustic number. How about you?
I picked When You Give Your Love to Me by Kevin Gilbert. I think that his style of arranging music could really make for a very simple, which already is, but take it from a guitar-based simple love song to maybe a piano, a keyboard-based, very simple, very happy, very positive love song. And I think it'd have a really cool atmosphere added to it.
I think you're right. That's really cool. It's a good choice, too. Very good. All right, let's move over to our playlist. This is where Hammond and I both pick a bunch of songs that maybe aren't hits, maybe aren't big hits anyway.
Oh, I picked one. I don't care.
I know. That's why I kind of rephrased it. And basically create our own additional playlist to support one of the bazillion greatest hits collections that you can find for Howard Jones. The first one I've got is Give Me Strength. This is from the 1-to-1 album. This one uses some really cool audio jumbling and trickery and, you know, mixing and stuff with alternate vocals. But I've always loved the feel of this song. And it's this cool walking bass line. It goes, I just love it. The song itself goes back and forth between a major key and a minor key, which is also something that really, really attracts me. It is my favorite track from the 1-to-1 album. And this was one that I hadn't heard in a long time when we started doing this this show. Getting to hear that back. The next one is from In the Running. It is City Song. This one, again, does a really good job of painting this aural landscape, aural, A-U-R-L. And it also does that same kind of major to minor bouncing back and forth that Give Me Strength does as well. Track is Wanders to You. This one is from Cross That Line. One thing you don't often get from Howard Jones is a kind of the sultry love song sounding thing. And Wanders to You is that. It's describing a tropical vacation with a woman who's got salt from the edge of her margarita glass kind of stuck to her lips and her golden brown tan skin. And it just feels like such a weird different type of song than you usually get with Howard Jones, but it's super cool. Fourth track in my playlist is called Boom Bap Respite. This is a B-side, and I'm trying to figure out which single it's from. I'm going to go back into my Howard
Jones. It's from his Cross the Line album, so it might be on the backside of that Prisoner or something.
Oh, I think it is. I think it is from Prisoner. Favorite song of mine since 1988. This was so I had found a B-side at one of my record shops that I would always go to, or found the Prisoner single at one of my record shops, picked it up, put the flip side on, and it is such a cool, beautiful, brilliant and fluid instrumental. It is absolutely gorgeous. And if you haven't heard Boom Bap Respite, that's a really good a song that you listen to and say, wow, this is from the same guy who did Life in One Day and What is Love, a new song. It does not feel, I mean, it's a good side of his acoustic piano side, this amazing talent as a pianist.
We both picked one of those songs from the same album.
Okay. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, there you go. And the last one is IGY, What a Beautiful World. He did a cover and I picked it. He does not do a lot of covers. There are very, very few covers in the Howard Jones library. He also did something he did a cover of Dido's White Flag for a TV show called Hit Me Baby One More Time, which was it was almost like a reality show where they would bring 80s musicians on, have them do their own music, and then they had to do a cover. And I think the audience would vote on which one was their favorite or something like that. It kind of feels like the show I would make if I had unlimited funds and access to everybody that I'd want to hear again. This is a cover of a song by Donald Fagen, the vocalist half of Steely Dan, about the, the International Geophysical Year. Again, a very positive tune and a great version by Howard Jones. Fits his style perfectly. Hammond, how about you?
Once again, sounds like Steely Dan's coming up on a future season of Soundography soon.
I think it has to.
Yeah. So I picked a hit and I don't care. I did the show notes, so I get to pick a hit. No. When I discovered Howard Jones, I thought, okay, so he's writing kind of these bouncy, new wavy kind of love songs. And I liked them, but there was a thing to them. And then I went out and purposely bought the Cross the Line album, and The Prisoner was on there. And The Prisoner isn't that. It's a different kind of song. It's still a Howard Jones, but it has a completely different feel to it. Stood out. It's always stood out against the rest of his catalog. And I love that song. And so I had to pick it just because it's my favorite Howard Jones song ever. And it happens to be a hit. Too bad.
Totally fine. And it's about paparazzi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like being caught on camera. Did you say that and I missed it?
No, I did not. No.
Okay.
But it's really interesting that this song and Running, I got the Tom Petty album that had Running Down a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
The same day I got this one. And so those two songs, Running Down a Dream and The Prisoner, are inexorably connected in my brain because I listen to them back to back so often.
You know what? The Pretty in Pink soundtrack and Howard Jones were... So did I tell the story last week? So I got a brand new compact disc player, 1985 birthday, August 2nd. Dad bought me we went to Costco. He bought me a compact disc player, and Costco didn't sell CDs back then. So basically we also had to stop off at Recycle Records and buy a CD, one of the few places in town that had CDs already. And he says, all right, pick a CD, get, you know, whichever one you want. I said, oh, I want this one right here. I want Howard Jones, Dream Into Action. So cool. Bought it, brought it back home, plugged in the compact disc player, hooked it up to the stereo, popped in the disc, played it. And the opening music of Things Can Only Get Better starts, and then it starts skipping like crazy, like bouncing all over.
Oh, no.
What's going on? And he says, well, maybe it was the CD. Let's go get another one. So, which is a weird thing now that you think about. We did try to take Dream It Action back. We just went and got another disc to see if the disc was the problem. That was probably it. We were probably doing troubleshooting by changing one variable to see if it solves the problem. So we went and got the Pretty in Pink soundtrack, which was my second choice for CDs, which begins with an OMD song right there. So there's a OMD Howard Jones connection. And it started doing the same thing. And we looked at the manual, and apparently there was a little plastic lock that kept the plate, the CD plate, from bouncing up and down in shipment. Because it's on kind of like a spring, kind of like a turntable floats a little bit. And there's like a little plastic... You turn it 90 degrees and pull that plastic thing out, and it releases the compact disc tray so you can move this thing around. And as soon as we undid that, it solved the problem, and I ended up with two CDs on my birthday.
Nice. Very good. Well played, sir.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, so I'm sorry. Get back
just so that we understand, my first two CDs were Metallica and Justice for All and Listen Like Thieves.
Oh, great choices.
Yeah.
Love it.
The next one, again from Cross the Line, is Out of Thin Air. And this is an instrumental. It's solo piano. And it is, it's a great example of just how talented he is at creating an emotion and creating a feeling without words and just using the keys at his fingers. It's a fantastic piece of music. And like I said, for earlier, when Brian picked his instrumental piece, I think that this was when he started kind of thinking, gee, I could go more acoustic and still have a lot of fun without being a new wave man.
It's totally true. Yeah.
My third one is Automaton. From Dream Into Action is my third choice. And this is a way more upbeat song than he usually does. He usually does these mid-tempos. This one actually is almost, I consider, danceable, which is a big deal. But it also has this really, really cool slap pop bass in it that kind of makes it feel jazzier than maybe it should be. But I really like the song. A little bit of snow from One to One. This is what made me think about the Kevin Gilbert connection for my cover. The moodiness really made me think of a couple songs from Thud. And I liked it because of its familiarity to Thud. But it's just a really well-written song.
It is. And I think it's about a friend of his that died from a cocaine overdose.
Oh, and that makes sense. The last one is a cover because I get to pick them too.
You got to pick a cover?
Yeah, it's not written in law that you're the only one who can.
I think it is, and if it isn't, then it needs to be.
This is a mashup cover, so it kind of floats the boundary a little bit. It's a song called Exodus, but then he also moves into Come Together. Live acoustic. And I love Exodus, but how he ties this into the Beatles song and turns it into a great cover is even more awesome.
That's brilliant. I don't know if I've heard this. I'm gonna have to go listen.
It's on the Spotify playlist.
Okay. All right. I'll go listen to it there. Yeah, Exodus, another one of those great, you know, positive songs. So hearing how he changes it, I can't wait to check that out. Very cool. Good choices, him.
Yeah.
This was a fun week, man. I loved going back into the older stuff that I haven't heard in a long time and then checking out some of the newer stuff. So Howard Jones.
Still, and this was actually a really good kind of pivot point from where we had been with some of the previous episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think we needed that, right? We needed that after Hollywood Undead and Fallout and then some bad management from Bad Finger and Runaways.
Yeah.
We had Self-Management by Howard Jones. So that's good. If he has bad management, no one is to blame but himself.
And his parents.
Come on. Did you miss that?
Oh, I got it.
No one is to blame but himself. Come on.
I don't know what's funnier, a joke or you begging for me to like the joke.
I know. Exactly. I think me begging you to laugh at the joke is way funnier. That's what got you going. All right. Let's talk about next week. Hammond, who is our next band or artist that we're listening to?
After much crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth from Brian, we are finally covering Mega Freaking Death.
My heels. You can see the tracks in the ground. From me dragging my heels at you're having to pull me along to this one. You know what? I'm looking forward to it.
They do plenty of covers. They dip them all in their own sauce. If nothing else, you will have 5 covers and that's fine.
Okay. All right. I'm going to trust you on this one. Well, Megadeth coming up on our next, what?
Oh, and I was going to say, because we're doing the big four, there's one of the big four that I really have a hard time with. And
oh, who's that?
That's Slayer. I have a hard time with Slayer. So when we get there, it might be one of those three Third Eye Blind weeks for us.
Ooh, can't wait. Good. It'll be, we'll get you back then for what you're doing to me with Megadeth. No, I'm sure I'm going to love it a lot more than I expect I'm going to. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us about your earliest Howard Jones memory. If you've got one, email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Check us out there. Soundography.com is our website. It's where you're going to find every episode we've ever done. Soundography.com. And with each episode, you're going to find our playlists, which are on Spotify. You'll find links to check those out. You'll also find a link to buy music. I think I'm going to link to a Platinum collection or the Extreme collection or the Best Of collection or something for Howard.
The Ultimate Anthology Best Of collection.
It's whichever one has the B-sides, because that is a really good one. And the one with the B-sides has Boom Bap Respite. So there you go. You can also support us by going to Patreon. And here's the cool thing. If you have been on the fence about subbing or supporting us with Patreon, here's another little enticement. Hammond has been putting all the episodes, as I post them to the RSS feed, he puts them on Patreon as well. So you'll get everything all in one place. All of our bonus antics, all of our regular shows, all of the hidden secret stuff that we give people via Patreon, all of it will be on the Patreon feeds. So that is super cool. And thank you, Hammond, for doing that as well. You can also leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We love to hear your feedback. Of course, you can email us. You can write us on Twitter, but we also love those positive reviews. Helps other people discover the shows. So leave your reviews wherever you get your podcasts. Hammond, anything to wrap us up here?
Not really. I don't know if I'm sad we're leaving the new song or excited that you're sweating bullets.
Well said, sir. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
The show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.